Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast.
We have already recorded the episode that you're about to hear. We recorded it Wednesday of last week. You're listening on a Tuesday. And a lot happened between the time we recorded the episode.
This is what happens when we record early. We're efficient, we're responsible, and then life happened.
Totally.
We have to quickly include it in the episode.
Well, this we certainly have to include because on Wednesday we recorded an episode that you're about to hear about stan culture and stanning things and being passionate fans.
And how good it is for your mental health.
Right. Sarah had just come out of a weekend of doing her Jonas Brothers LA weekend with a bunch of Jonas friends, which we're going to talk about throughout the episode. And then on Thursday, after we recorded the episode, the girls at the Morning Toast sang one of Kanye's songs. And that was the first step in me being like, oh my God, that's so crazy. These right. two things that I love so much integrated together. Mm-hmm. And that would have been enough. Right. Dianu.
When that happened, like literally we all were like, wellness check on Liz.
Seriously, like, is Liz okay?
Yeah, like, is Liz alive? When it started, did you see my texts coming
yes,
through?
Yes, I was like really shaking. Like,
live. Yeah.
And I was watching live. So that was really crazy. And it was confirmation to me that the album was actually that Kanye West's album was going to come out the following day on Friday after we had been bamboozled weeks before thinking that it was going to come out. And not only did I find out it was coming out because I knew the girls on the Morning Toast were singing about it. Mm-hmm. So then I wake up on Friday morning after this incredibly moving day and right. there was no album. And I was like, okay, I put on my Instagram story like, all right, you know, I literally wrote, this is fate swinging low, wait for it to swing high, like it'll get better. Thinking to myself like, you know, we'll get the album at some point and it'll be fine.
Yeah. And okay.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and then it came out at noon, right?
It came out at noon. And I, you know, I freaked out. I started listening and I had about a 2-hour window of work was going crazy. I was trying to listen to the music and mm-hmm. I checked Facebook at one point and a toaster had like put a picture in the main group about, it was a picture of Kim and Kanye out to eat. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh my God, so crazy. Kim and Kanye in New York at a restaurant. And I tagged Sarah in the post and said, oh my God, run. It was right near her office. Yep.
And you know what's crazy is that Liz is a huge Kanye stan. But I like Kanye, but I've never been like a huge, huge stan. But that morning, for some reason, I think because Liz was like, the album's out, everyone should give it a listen. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a try. And I literally loved it. Like I don't necessarily relate to everything that
right.
Kanye's
we're both Jewish. In case
about.
You didn't know,
yeah. Like, and so, it, you know, it is a Christian gospel album, but for some reason, I just really like it. Really spoke to me, and like I really loved it, and I was interpreting it in my own way.
Yeah,
and I just like I was literally on my 15th round of listening to this album. Like I was listening to it on repeat
over and over, more than me. I didn't have a chance to listen to it.
I loved it. I was like, I spent my whole morning listening to it.
Right,
and then I checked Facebook, and I had the tag from Liz being like, run. And I was like, I don't have meetings today.
Might as well go. And then I thought to myself, I don't know what I thought because it was so busy at work. Yeah. But I was just like, I wrote on the post, are they still there? And the girl was like, my stepfather sent this to me 15 minutes ago. I think they're still there. So I was like, all right.
It's now or never.
And I was like, okay, I'm on my way. I got from like, as soon as I wrote on my way at my desk, I was outside the restaurant 10 minutes later. I checked
my
phone.
Liz and I were texting. The restaurant was like 2 blocks outside of my office.
Yeah, it was a subway stop away from mine.
And I texted her a video of me running and she was like, are you almost there? I was like, this is me right now. And it was me running
sprinting
down the street. And I got there and I texted Liz. I'm like, no worries. They're still in there. Mm-hmm. The paparazzi was all lined up, ready to go for them right outside the restaurant.
My paparazzo friend Ezra was there. He was there the first time I saw Kim and it's the same guy. Shout out to him. Anyway, so we were standing there and they started to walk out and I was screaming and we're like, okay, they're going to come and do the paparazzi pics. And then they started to walk away.
They walked the opposite direction that we thought they were going to walk
right.
in.
So I was like so disappointed. I was like, no. And then Sarah like put her phone down and was like, do you want to run after them. And I was
I don't even think I posed the question. I grabbed your hand. I said, let's go.
And so we went and we got to the front of the horde and like we were screaming, Kanye, so like we love the album.
We were following them and we just were right behind them.
We were right behind them. You can see all of this and you will if you go to either of our Instagrams or whatever. But essentially, like, we had several minutes with Kim and Kanye. Like, we got to interact with them a little bit.
Yeah.
I made Kanye West laugh. And
by saying Poopity Scoop.
And
there's video proof of him just fully turning around and laughing.
Yeah. You can also check that out on my Twitter, where I'm now an active member of Stan Twitter. And it was an insane day. I remember sprinting from my office and like thinking this is gonna work, and I never think that way. I'm like,
you know, when I met the Jonas Brothers that whole day, I said to myself, what should I wear to meet the Jonas Brothers? What should my makeup look
and
like?
And you had no idea you were gonna meet the Jonas Brothers.
I didn't
even
have meet and greet,
right?
So I think I talk about that in this episode, maybe not,
but that's good.
Regardless,
to know.
It's what you're putting out into the universe,
right? So what I should say is, Sarah and I have talked a little bit about like how we're Jewish and what we believe in. Kanye is singing about Jesus. That's what he believes in. Whatever you believe in, if it's like religious or you're a fan of an artist, believe in it hard. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my advice. That was my takeaway from the whole day. I was like, even if you just believe in your own ability to get to those places, believe it hard, because mm-hmm. it will happen, and it happened for us. And like, I don't even have anything to say. I started the day so sad that the album didn't come out, trying to like cheer myself up.
Yeah, positivity.
And so I guess 8 hours later, like, the album came out and I had met him. And it was just like,
it was crazy. Like, I've been a part of Stan World for a long time.
Long time.
Like, I've been a Stan since I was a young child. So I know what it's like to just, when I was at it, I remember it all started at a Hilary Duff concert when I was like, I think 10 or maybe younger.
I think we were at the same one, right?
I went
Nassau Coliseum.
No, I went to Atlantic City.
Oh, never mind.
Anyways, I remember being with my mom and she grabbed my hand and was like, let's try and get closer to the stage. And I remember being like, Mom, like, you're going to get in trouble. Like, you're going to go to jail. And she grabbed my hand and looks at me and goes, Sarah, the worst thing they can say is no.
No, right.
They're not going to put you in jail for trying to get closer to a celebrity.
Yeah.
And so my mom taught me a valuable lesson that day. It's do what you can.
Yeah.
Because people always ask me, like, how do you get to meet all these celebs? I'm like, I do my best. Like,
yeah.
I don't give up. Like,
right.
If I smell a celeb nearby, I go for it. And in this very case, I just grabbed Liz's hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people have been messaging us or commenting being like, okay, not a lot of people, but a couple of people have given, you know, some harsh criticism.
Oh, like, you were screaming at them.
You were screaming at them. Like, they must have been so tired. Like, that's really not how it went.
No, it's
like,
not. And you know what's funny? Sarah was the one who's like saying we were following them and we were like, can we please take a picture with you? We love you. We love the album. Kanye turns around and goes, okay, y'all got to walk with me though. So we went through his security. Yeah. Like, they were like, okay, I guess this is happening. And we took pictures with him and it was like, yeah, of course we were being loud because we wanted to interact with them. Right. We love them. Like,
and also, like, it's not like they were just, they were walking down the street, I think, doing an interview.
Yeah.
And they weren't, it wasn't like a meet and greet that we paid for. So in order to get their attention, especially if you've ever been in this situation before, there's always like storm of paparazzi around them yelling their name, trying to get them to look at the camera. So if you want their attention, you have to kind of be loud.
Be aggressive. But
yeah.
So the moral of the story is, as you'll hear in the episode, which is just incredibly beshared, as we would say, meant to be.
If it's meant to be, it'll be.
Okay. No, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was just trying to formulate my thought, which is be thankful for the people that help you. I told Sarah over and over how thankful I was that Sarah is the more brazen of the two of us, and she's like, you got to just do it. And I wouldn't have done it without her, and I wouldn't have chased after Kanye without her. And
chased after Kanye. We actually were just walking.
We were just walking quickly. I want to also, like, it's so weird because we found out about it through the Morning Toast, which is the other thing that I talked about in this episode. And I want to thank someone named Sydney Gelber. I already thanked her. She was the one who first posted about it. And she DM'd me and was like, oh my gosh, like, it was my stepdad who posted the picture. And I just want to thank her and thank Sarah and thank the Morning Toasters and thank Kim and Kanye, because they made one sad girl very, very happy for all eternity.
We were shaking and, you know, we saw them and we made eye contact with them. And
yeah.
Let me just clear the air. They were both, Kim and Kanye were both very happy, especially Kanye. He had the biggest smile.
If you look at the TMZ pictures of him from that like time period, he was smiling the whole time. And then of course you go and take a selfie with him and he puts Kanye face on.
Yeah, of course, because he has an image to keep up.
Right.
He was smiling so big.
Yeah.
And we obviously were yelling at him. We weren't yelling at him being like, look over here. Look, we were like, Kanye, we love your music.
We love your music. We streamed it 15 times.
Yeah, we were like, we're listening to your album. Like, it's so good. And he launched an album 3 hours prior to us seeing him. So clearly us being like, we're fans of your music. Like, it was an all around great experience. And they were happy. We were happy. And, you know, no regrets.
We look forward to you listening to the rest of this episode. And we'll see you on the other side.
See you on the other side. Let us know what your stance of.
Yeah, please do.
Bye.
All righty. Episode 9.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay. Episode 9. Here we are.
I think we should preface this with what just happened to us.
Do we sound a little different to you? Do we sound like more equipped for ASMR, perhaps?
Guys, we just had the craziest experience.
We just got new equipment.
We just spent the last like 4 hours trying to figure out this equipment.
So we hope it sounds better, but bear with us as we kind of try and navigate this high tech space that we've found ourselves in.
You know, we just figured that the mics we had before were fine, but they weren't great.
They were. I'm fine, but they weren't.
They were fine, and we're trying to be great. So please, as Liz said, please bear with us if this sounds weird, if this sounds different. You know. Just let us know and we'll try and figure it out along the way.
We're doing our best.
We are doing our best and that's all we can do.
So today we are going to talk about something I think a little bit different, but incredibly relevant to me and Sarah.
If you know us at all, you will be like, this checks out. Like, this makes sense.
Yeah, this tracks.
This tracks. But this is something that Liz and I love talking about and I think that it's very pertinent to mental health, but it's also a little more fun. And we hope that you get a laugh out of this and that you smile along the way with us and maybe you can share your stories with us too.
Yeah. So for a little bit of background, we explain this.
Let's start with peak and pit of the week.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, no, for sure. We'll come back to the topic of the week. Sarah, do you want to start?
Absolutely. To be honest, my pit was probably tonight. I've just been, you know, Liz and I both, we want this to be good. Like, we want this to be really, really good. And, you know, like we said in the last episode, like, this isn't our jobs. We have 9-to-5s. So it's really stressful when it's 9 p.m. on a Wednesday and you're still trying to figure out the microphone situation. So that's definitely been my pit of the week. My peak of the week was that I went to a Jonas Brothers concert in L.A. this weekend with all of my Jonas friends. And if you don't know what that means, what it means is exactly what it sounds like. It's that I've made friends simply through loving the Jonas Brothers, whether that be online or, you know, through friends that I made in middle school. And we all kind of decided to just go to LA this weekend and go to the concert together. And we got a big house and we pre-gamed all together. And it was just an absolute blast. And I was so happy. And the Jonas Brothers reposted us on their story. And it was just so much fun. And so that was definitely my peak of the week. Liz, why don't you tell me and our listeners about your pit and peak?
Okay, so my pit is sort of sad. Well, they're often sad. I finished a book called The Nightingale, and it was about the Holocaust and World War II. And it just really, I mean, if you've ever been to the Holocaust Museum or Yad Vashem in Israel, or if you've even just studied World War II, you understand how really deeply upsetting it is. Even as someone who didn't directly experience the atrocities that happened in Germany, I just like felt so shaken by even reading a fictional story that was based on what happened. And so that was really, really challenging. But I think my peak, it wasn't really a happy peak, but it was a sort of breakthrough where I realized, you know, these terrible things happened and I have an incredible life. And that's not to say I shouldn't acknowledge my anxiety and try and combat it, but it is to say that sometimes when I'm sitting there and thinking about, you know, small things that feel so terribly wrong in my life, I can say to myself how lucky I am that I get to live pretty freely and have friends and walk around in this world and be Jewish and be outwardly Jewish. And it just made me feel like excited about, you know, being Jewish. And yeah,
I love that.
Pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. I really like that. I think that it's really easy to, there's two sides of it. I think on one hand, it's very easy to get caught up in like, why me? Why this is horrible. And it's really good to be, to put things in perspective and say like, okay, my life, you know, it's not as bad as it could be.
Right.
But at the same time, it's, you know, everyone's feelings are valid.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't let, everything's relative. Like, right. It's not like you have, like, thank God, it's not like you've been through that before. So you don't, it's not like you're comparing it to that,
right,
to a worse time in your own life. You're, right, comparing it to the other times in your own life, your, right, own experiences. Right. So, you know, it's all relative. And, but that's beautiful. And I really do want to read that book.
Lori Santos on her podcast talked about how important it is for people to share. She spoke with a Holocaust survivor whose life was just made so much better by sharing her story. And so I think that that's really important. And we can take a lesson from those people whose lives and who went through something horrible and were able to make lives for themselves by sharing their story. And that's sort of what we're trying to do in a different but important way.
Absolutely. Love that. I absolutely agree.
Okay. So before we get the show started, let's talk again about BetterHelp.
Let's. BetterHelp is great for everyone. I love that you can text your therapist or like opt to call/video conference them. It's just a really, really cool feature.
Yeah. It feels really practical because it can sort of allow you to figure out the best method for you as opposed to the best method for the therapist.
Right. Like it's accessible to everyone because while there are a lot of therapists here, like we're priced out of a lot of them.
Right, exactly. BetterHelp is far more affordable. So you can all sign up using our code today for 10% off your first month of service. Just go to betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com/itsfine for 10% off.
And you know what? We actually got a report that more than a couple of people have signed up for BetterHelp using our code. And, you know, if there's anything that brings me joy out of this, it's that people are considering therapy and putting themselves out there, even if it's not something that they are so comfortable with. Yeah. People are like doing something for themselves.
I completely agree.
And that's freaking awesome.
Should we refresh people on how we met?
You know, that's a great idea, Liz.
Thank you.
Do you mind if I kick it off?
Go for it.
Okay.
Take the lead.
A little bit of background here. I hope Liz doesn't mind, but I'm just gonna start talking. I, for lack of a better word, I am a stan. Okay. Oh. That doesn't just mean fan, that means stan. That means Eminem came up with this term, but it means a huge fan of something. Like,
didn't
obsessive.
It come from like stalker fan?
Yeah, it comes from, right, stalker fan, but I think now the way that our society uses it is more of like you're obsessed with something.
Uh-huh.
And like I just am a stan through and through. So when I was like very young, my first obsession was with Avril Lavigne. I wore ties used to go to Limited 2 and buy punk rock necklaces and bracelets. Wow. She was my first concert in 2003.
She was my first CD that I bought with my mom.
Let Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great Let Go. Maybe we should play. Maybe we should have like a toast radio and play that. Whatever.
We should have an if radio.
We should have an if radio. So I loved Avril Lavigne. Then I moved on to Cole and Dylan Sprouse from Zach and Cody. I had posters of Cole all over my bedroom. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all of those things were, let's say I was fan. No, I was stans, but I didn't really know what it was like to stan someone. Mm. Until 2006, when I was introduced to the one and only Mama, it's the Jonas Brothers. That's from Hannah Montana.
I know.
So I was introduced to the Jonas Brothers and my life changed forever. I've never loved anything more. And, you know, the Jonas Brothers, and I will get into this later. I will. But
trust me, you guys.
They really became my everything. Like, people would ask me in middle school, like, who do you have a crush on? And I would be like, no, really. Like, it's Joe Jonas. Like, there was nothing else for me because.
Do you want to go out with me, Sarah? No. I am waiting for Joe Jonas.
I did have boyfriends when I was younger. But,
ooh,
like, yeah, we won't get into
braggy.
That. Hey, Matt. Hey, Joey. Hey.
You're so girly.
Okay, so I just was like a huge, huge, huge Jonas stan. And over time, I went to a bunch of concerts. I made a lot of friends through the Jonas community, which, again, I will get into. But they really taught me how to be a stan of something. And then they broke up, and it was so sad. But I was in college, and luckily I did have, like, a life outside of the Jonas Brothers. So I was going out, and I had friends in college, and I had my life in college. But that being said, when they got back together, when I was 24 years old at the beginning of this year, people used to ask me, like, what, why as a 25-year-old woman are you so obsessed with three boys? Like, what, they're all married. Like, what's it doing for you?
That? I just want to talk to them.
I just want their number.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, like, why do you love the Jonas Brothers? You're 25 years old. And I was just like, you know what? The Jonas Brothers bring me a sense of joy and nostalgia and peacefulness and silliness and childlike behavior. I meant like
childlike behavior.
I meant that. I meant
like you want to eat applesauce and shit.
The Jonas Brothers brought me a sense of peace that I haven't felt in so long.
Yeah.
And I know that I completely just derailed, but the question that Liz asked me was, how did we meet,
Sarah?
And so
let's bring it on home.
This is like a sidebar, but I was going through my breakup and the Jonas Brothers had not reunited yet. So I wasn't really like a huge stan of anything. And I didn't really have anything to latch onto when I needed a good distraction. And someone suggested I listen to the Morning Toast podcast. Caroline Grannis. What's up, Caroline?
Hey.
She was like, she actually told me to listen when it was The Breath. So she was like, you should listen. There's this podcast called The Morning Breath. And it's a morning show. My brother and his wife and me and my other brother, like, we're all obsessed. And
right.
I got into it, and honestly, just putting my headphones in and listening to two people talk about, like, the silliest of things and joke around was the best distraction for me. And you know what, take it away. I've been talking for like 3 years.
That's okay. That is what I loved about them too, and love about them. But when I first found them, that's what I initially loved. It was so, like, just not heavy. It felt like everything in life was heavy. Everyone was talking about graduation for me and politics and this and that, and it's just like I just wanted to feel like I just wanted to laugh the same way that you felt when the Jonas Brothers reunited, even though The Breath was for me when I was older. Like, I had the same experience. It was just this simple joy that was brought into my life. So, full circle, the way Sarah and I met was through the Morning Toast community.
So the Morning Breath turned into the Morning Toast, but we won't get into that.
We won't get into that. Not today.
Not today.
So when the Morning Toast has a really cool, like, Facebook group community. So there's like the Morning Toasters Facebook group, and then there's some subgroups. So there's like the Jewish toasters, there's the New York toasters.
And the main group has about 40,000 members.
Yeah.
So through that, you know, through this community of 40,000 people, you tend to find people that have similar interests as you.
Right.
So then through that, you make smaller groups. Yeah. So
that's hence the subgroups. It's sort of like the way I describe it to people who don't know about the Toast is like, it's like subreddits where you have communities sort of based on a larger community. So anyway, our friend Odelia, who we've talked about before, helped to organize a Torah study. And Sarah and
like
I...
Like a Bible study.
Like a Bible study for the Challah toasters, the Jewish toasters.
And Odelia was not our friend. None of us even knew each other. But Odelia wanted to start a community, like, from this Jewish toasters community, Odelia wanted to start a Torah class.
Right.
And, you know, a bunch of strangers decided to take a shot at it. And we all went.
A shot at love with a bunch of strangers.
Love so, Island.
We met through that and we became fast friends. Actually, Sarah and I are coming up on the 1 year anniversary of us meeting.
Oh my gosh.
Did we meet on November 7th? No, maybe a little bit later.
When was Torah and Tequila Night?
It was in November.
So we met almost a year ago.
Which is crazy because it feels like we've known each other for a lifetime.
No, but truly. Actually,
because I think that that's one of the things I love about the Toast community is it really connects people in a way that other things in life just can't. Like, right. Yes, in college I was in a sorority and I made a lot of good friends through my sorority, but it's like we didn't have a way of knowing that we were all interested in one thing. And that's mm-hmm. what the Toast did. It like mm-hmm. put all these people together who have common interests.
Right. And like even on your like worst days, you can find some inside joke because the Toast really brings us inside jokes because the girls, Claudia and Jackie, they talk about things on the morning show and they create inside jokes and they let all of their fans in as if it was their inside joke too.
Right.
So when you run into what we call a toaster in the middle of the street and you say, I don't know.
You see their pop socket on their phone that says the Morning Toast. And right. you're like, oh my God, are you a toaster? Yeah,
or
a toaster. Did you
to
go
random,
to this thing? Are you
yeah.
going to Claudia's show at the Beacon? Like,
or you're talking to a random girl and she says, oh, I can't and I shan't and I went. And you're like, oh, you're a toaster.
You're a toaster. Right.
And it gives you an instant connection, instantly gives you something to talk about. And there have been so many subgroups. There's even a Tense Toast group for people who struggle with anxiety and other like mental health things that they want to talk about. And so Liz and I became friends through this community. And so Liz and I base our friendship off of, well, it's not like it's this anymore. Like our friendship isn't based on this now, but our friendship's foundation was off of the mutual love. Yes,
yeah.
Being stans. And quickly through being stans of the Morning Toast, Liz and I learned that we're both huge stans of other things.
Of the Kardashians. I mean, that's a long-standing one for me.
Yeah, and the way Liz to Kim is me to Joe Jonas.
Yeah, I would say I will give you more credit than that because you are more of a stan of the Jonas Brothers.
I actually disagree with you.
Really? Is this a pity thing?
No.
Okay.
No.
Tell
Listen,
me
I'm a huge freaking Jonas Brothers fan. Like, there is no denying it. I did fly cross country for them mm-hmm. various times. But that being said, the Kardashians are a little bit more... like
inaccessible.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly the word
right.
I was looking for. The Jonas Brothers, since their reunion, and yes, it was the best day of my life. When they reunited, they literally flew me out to LA to interview me as being one of their biggest fans.
Yeah.
So like it and they surprised the fans there and
right.
you know, the Jonas Brothers were there. If like Kim was gonna do that, like, and you were chosen, like you would go. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Unless yeah. you wouldn't.
No, I would go. I think there are people who are actually like dedicated fan accounts to Kim Kardashian, which is sort of like what you do with Jonas. But all that being said.
Yeah, but I do it to thirst out for them. Like your name on Twitter is Liz Kardashian.
That's so true.
You don't give yourself enough credit. You know Kim in and out. And
I defend her like in every aspect of her being. And I've done so on this podcast. And I do so with her entire family and her husband. And I'll do it until I die.
Her husband. As
so,
in, you know, Kim Kardashian's husband, Kanye West.
He's a polarizing figure. So I'll try not to get into it too much. I absolutely agree. I'll try not to get into it too much. But yeah, I love them. And I stan. And we both stan. And I want to talk a little bit about like how this relates to mental health and the benefits and the downfalls of stanning.
Because
I know a lot of people who listen are also stans because you probably found us through the Toast community or you found us through the Jonas community or you found us through one of those stan communities.
Yeah.
And so you probably know what it's like to be a really big fan of someone or something.
And you know, I hear people saying all the time, they're like, isn't it tiring? And I'm like, no, like this is fun for me. I come home from work and sometimes I don't want to think about, I always come back to this, but like the bills I have to pay and like my work that I have to do tomorrow and like the fact that, you know, there's just a lot on my mind as an adult and being able to just like chill and think about like your next concert or like the next episode of Keeping Up or, you know, even if it's just like checking in on what they're doing and
right.
being like, that's so cool. Like it brings you a sense of peace and
yeah.
fun
right.
that you don't necessarily get
right.
elsewhere.
Right. It's why people like reality TV in general or music to sort of take them away from
mm-hmm.
the stresses of life. And I think I want to start out with some of the bad things about being a stan so that
okay.
we can end the episode on a positive note, similar to Peek and Pit, like the
mm-hmm.
way we do it. So the downfalls, and I know that we've talked about this, and this might sound a little bit weird to people who aren't stands.
Yeah, if you're not a stan, you might not understand. However,
you might not understand as a stan.
Stand.
I think that this can apply to everyone who's passionate about anything. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And our passions happen to be
people,
the Jonas Brothers and the Oshrays and the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
So I think here's the downfall. I am one of the biggest fans ever of the Morning Toast and the Kardashians. Like, I love them both and I love them a lot. And I'm always commenting on everything and I'm always posting about both entities. And sometimes I get anxious if I'm not doing it enough. And that is makes me feel really vulnerable to say, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to say it because it's like, are you like, people are probably thinking, is she okay? Like, why does she feel like she needs to engage in a community where the people she's like fangirling over may not even know who she is?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the Morning Toast is a little bit smaller than the Kardashians. So I've met Jackie and Claudia and they're lovely. And I think they know who I am. Kim Kardashian doesn't know who I am. And it's
she did call you beautiful though.
She did call me people. I wrote this in my Instagram bio and I know that people were making fun of me about it. But here's the thing. One time I put on Kim Kardashian's contour kit when she first released it. I posted a picture of myself on Twitter wearing said contour kit and literally thirsting, Kim, don't I look so good in your contour kit at KKW Beauty? And she or someone on her team responded, so beautiful, heart, eyes.
Like from Kim Kardashian's Twitter.
From Kim Kardashian's Twitter. When I put this places and publicize it, I, of course, know that a lot of people are on Kim's social media account, and maybe it wasn't her. But just like Sarah said, for that one moment, I experienced an unprecedented level of joy where it made me feel like, oh, my God, all the work that I do to connect to these mm-hmm. people that I love so much is not fruitless. And but OK, back to the downfall. It's hard because I know that Sarah experiences this. She wants to go to like every Jonas thing that she mm-hmm. possibly can. Of course, because it makes you happy.
Right.
But then you're like anxious when you can't go because it's on a date you're committed to. It's too much money. Like, we're just people. We don't have the money to go fly out and see all of these things and do all of these things or the time or the resources.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really exhausting to try and chase this happiness. and feeling like we just can't. We're people with full-time jobs and we're people who are fans and we can't constantly expect gratification from the people who we stan. Is there anything else that's sort of like hard about this that you want to talk about?
Yeah. So when I was in middle school, like I was super obsessed. I was super obsessed. And just like the Morning Toast, there were a bunch of Jonas Brothers fan groups right. and like Facebook groups.
Shout out Alana Dunn.
Yeah. And when I was in middle school, you know, I feel like I had to be on those groups because people in middle school and in high school, not only did they not understand, but no one really wanted to hear about the Jonas Brothers. Right. Like people, if you liked them, you were down to talk. If you didn't like them, you didn't want to hear about it. And I needed a place to like unleash my obsession. Like I needed right. a place to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so I joined these Facebook groups, but the downside of them, you know, on one hand, the good part was that you had people to connect with that you related to. And there was a beautiful community of people supporting each other who shared the same obsession with the Jonas Brothers. But on the on the downside, you always felt like a little bit of competition.
Oh, of course.
To prove how much of a fan you were.
Yeah.
And like, I know that like, this probably doesn't sound so like, why would that bring you anxiety? But when you're super obsessed with something, you have other people like making you feel like you're not doing enough. It's kind of like, wait, what? Like
also this, it is relatable because it's your hobby. Just like people who play tennis in high school, like I don't get playing tennis.
Right.
Like, it ain't for me, but they get super competitive with it. And of course they like it. They get into it because they're like, oh, I love playing this sport. But then it's right. like, well, I have to be the best at it. It's just right. human nature.
Yeah. And like, I think that in middle school and high school, we would all be competitive about like who got to meet the Jonas Brothers the most, who got to see them, who got to talk, whatever. Right.
Who knows the most
who
about
knows
them.
The most. And like, I always wanted to prove myself, but I never felt like I could because I never really had any of those like super cool experiences. I only met them once when I was younger and
that's
you know
more than me.
Yeah, but they like didn't know who I like there were fans that like right. were meeting them right, all right, the right. time and like it felt very competitive. Whatever. They broke up, time went on, and then they got back together and like within the first week within the Morning Toast Facebook groups, someone was like, I'm starting a Jonas Brothers subgroup. And I instantly felt this like PTSD flashback from when I was little being like, uh-oh, like,
why didn't I
I'm going to, or not just that, but like, I'm going to have to prove to these people how big of a fan I am. And I don't know why I felt the need to, but I genuinely was like, okay, now I have to like prove to this community that like I'm the biggest fan. And I kind of like took a step back and I was like, you know what? There's nothing I can do to prove to anyone anything. So I'm just going to have fun with this because that's what it's supposed to be doing for me. This is supposed to be a good thing. And I'm just going to have fun with it. And if people don't think I'm the biggest fan, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like at the beginning, I was like definitely really stressed. And like, for example, like I tried to come up with there wasn't a podcast about the Jonas Brothers. Like there was not. And I was like, you know what? Like I want to start a podcast. This was before It's Fine, I'm Fine started. And I was like, I want a podcast. I should start a Jonas Brothers one because I know there's so many people out there that would love to hear me, not me, but would love to hear like analyzations of the songs. You know how people love doing that? Like,
right.
And so I was like, I could do this. Like, I could own this space. And I started one. And, you know, I realized that there were people who were more in the public eye who seemed like a bigger fan than me. And then it just seemed like weird that I was trying to, like, compete on, like, who was a bigger fan by trying to get noticed the most and all this stuff. And I was like, I need to just stop. There's room for everyone here. I don't need to be the biggest fan. Yeah. I know in my heart of hearts that I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
And I don't need other people to know that about me. And like, I don't know. I feel like now that I'm talking about it, it sounds like a weird anxiety, but
it's
like,
it
feels like a lot of pressure. Like within the community, like you really feel like everyone's kind of like competing about like what they got to do over you. And like, even though I was flown out to the Jonas Brothers in February, like since then I've had people be like, well, I've met them a million times and like, I know who they are. And like, you go on like Stan Twitter, which is like the Twitter world of Jonas where like, and there's for everything. And you go into Stan Twitter for Jonas and like, people are always talking about like what they got to do and whatever. And it's just like, I'm like, why do I feel this pressure? Like this is supposed to be fun. Like, I need to not let other people get to me in this way.
Right. And sort of bring you back down to earth and remember why you liked it, why you liked the Jonas Brothers in the first place.
Right.
It had nothing to do with the competitive nature of what you're currently experiencing.
Sorry. And just to interrupt you real quick, but part of that also comes with going to shows and wanting to be in the front row.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. Like when you're in a general admission and you want to be in the front row,
go with Sarah Sassone.
That's the
advice.
That is the advice. But it's tough. Like I went to a Post Malone concert for my birthday 2 weeks ago and we were in the pit and like people were like angry. Like people were almost fighting about like who was going to get closer up.
Right.
No one is just like okay with being chill in the back. No one.
No.
Like everyone wants to be noticed. Everyone wants to be in the front.
You're at like a Lana Del Rey concert. I don't know how those things
go. I don't know.
You know, with chill. What are chill musicians like?
Like Woodstock?
Who knows? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like everyone wants to be in the back to smoke. But like.
No, but even at Kacey Musgraves, she has a chill vibe and everyone wanted to be in the front.
That's true. Yeah, everyone does want to be in the front. But it's like, why? Because like
you want to be close to them. You want to experience.
But at the core of it, it's because you want to be close to them because you kind of want to get noticed. No?
Yeah. You want to see them seeing you.
Exactly.
And
like,
you want them to sing to you.
Connection.
Of course. Yeah. So I think when you boil it down to its simplest parts, what you're experiencing is normal. And I think that, yes, it might be difficult for someone who's not part of like stan culture to understand. I think most people can understand feeling passionate about something and letting your passions drive you in a way that's unhealthy.
Totally.
But I do want to talk about the positive aspects of standing.
Oh, absolutely. Let's get right into it because I could talk for days.
Here we go. So, well,
losing
people. Okay, thank you. You get it.
I knew you'd think that was funny.
It was good. So this podcast that we're using to hopefully help change people's lives wouldn't have been possible without stan culture.
Absolutely not.
You absolutely agree?
I absolutely agree because of the toast.
Sarah and I met through the toast and I'm incredibly grateful for it. And we met some of our lifelong friends through the toast. Our mama, Alana, is a huge toaster. And
our spiritual mother, Odelia.
Our spiritual mother, Odelia.
Our Taylor Swift.
Our fellow stan, Alana Weinstein.
Stannis Baratheon.
Stannis. And I'm incredibly grateful. I also want to shout out Camp Toast, which Sarah is going to be coming with me if all goes well next year.
BZH.
And it's, I can't explain it. You can see it on my Instagram if you follow me, and you'll hopefully see it on Sarah's, like, this community of people who are just adults coming together to sing and drink and dance. It's like, I couldn't have paralleled that experience as an adult. And mm-hmm. I think that's really special about stan culture, is exactly what you were saying at the beginning of this episode. Community. It just makes you feel community, and it makes you feel like a kid, like in a really, really good way, like carefree. We're all here. Oh, I want to say something really quickly. When I was at Camp Toast, and this is another thing I like about stans, and you will feel the same way. I grew up around a lot of privileged people, and I am very tired of having to talk about where I went to school and where I work and what I'm going to do with my life. Literally at Camp Toast, I didn't know what anyone did for a living until like the last day that I was there, because no one cared, because no one asked. Like, it's not, I mean, of course there's people whose livings are very interesting, and it's not that we didn't care about each other, but it's like we just cared about
having fun.
Like, and I remember asking Parker Bone, like, on the last day, what do you do? And she was like, oh, I do this thing. And I was like, really? Like, I didn't know that. And no one cared. Yeah. And it wasn't like, oh, you went to this school, great, da da da. Like, everyone was from all different parts of the country. And I'm sure with Jonas it's so similar, like how it brings people together from every walk of life.
Actually, it's so funny that you say that, because I'm thinking about my Jonas friends, and I really don't know what most of them do.
Yeah.
But it's so true. People really, like, you would be surprised how many people ask me, like, why do you still obsess over them? Mm-hmm. Like, why? Like, people just don't understand. And the simple answer is that stanning the Jonas Brothers is so much more than just, like, loving three married guys. You know, like, it's not that
all married.
The day after the show, one of the girls who was in our group met them at a meet and greet. And she was like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but, like, we were all together pre-gaming, like, all of us from the video in February. And Joe and Nick and Kevin were like, we know, we saw, like, that's so awesome. Like, we saw you guys were all together.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like they know just as well as we know that, like, this is more than just a fandom about them. Yeah. They know that it's about the community, and, like, it's just, like, after the show on WhatsApp, we were all just like, love you guys so much. Like, love you all. And, like, the community just feels so strong, and you just feel supported, and you feel less alone at the end of the day when you have, like, a community of people who get this part of you that, like, other people might not get.
Yeah.
So that's my Jonas spiel, but
no, I feel really similarly, and it's interesting. As important as it is to develop connections with people in your life, it's also been really helpful when people are going through things or just have questions or just want to talk about the Kardashians or Vanderpump Rules, to go to the Morning Toast Facebook group and say, hey, did anyone see this? And it's like thousands and thousands of comments. My favorite threads are the ones in the Tipsy Toasters group, the one about drinking. And it's just like, this one time this girl lost her lasagna. Do you remember this thread?
No.
It's so, it was a really funny thread about a girl who lost her lasagna when she was drunk and she couldn't find it. Like, she made herself this lasagna.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
And then she couldn't find it anywhere, and everyone was commenting on Facebook, like, did you put it here? Did you ask your boyfriend? Like, I'd freak out. What are you doing? Da, 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 da. And then people would follow up 2 weeks later, like, did she ever find the lasagna? I think she had put it, like, under her couch or something. But it's just a kind of a community of people whose the other aspects of life are thrown away and the normal, like, rules of civility are gone.
Yeah.
People get to just kind of be themselves, and that's what I like about the internet. There's a lot of bad things about the internet, but it found Sarah her Jonas friends, it found her Jonas community, it found me my Kardashian stan Twitter, and the Morning Toast Facebook page, which brought me and Sarah together, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I used to be embarrassed talking about, like, I'm a big fan of the Morning Toast, and people would be like, what's that? And it's like, girl, no job, da da da. And, like, I have no qualms anymore being like, yep, I love it, and I love it for these reasons, and I went to Camp Toast.
Yeah.
And, you know, if anyone has a problem with that, I think you can just text me about it. I'll send them some choice words.
It's also like, in regarding the mental health part of it, like, regarding my anxiety, being a stan of something, like we said, it brings you a sense of peacefulness and joy and fun that you really can't get elsewhere. And it's like when you're having your most anxious moments or you feel like alone or you feel like things, there's no way that this one situation is going to improve. It's not so much a distraction, but it's just like, okay, what brings me joy in a sense where I...
There's nothing else involved. It's just joy.
It's just joy. Yeah. There's no drama. Real. I mean, there are some downsides, like we said earlier, but most of the time, it's just plain fun.
Jonas and
it's
Brothers, like, turn them on. Happiness begins.
They're just fun, you know? Yeah. And when I'm really anxious, like, I turn on the Jonas Brothers music, I rewatch the documentary, and, like, it brings me to a place where suddenly my own life worries are, like, melting away. And it's not like they're gone, but I just remember that there's, like, there are things in life that bring me a lot of joy and just pure happiness.
I think the moral of the story is, if you're passionate about something, you should embrace your passion and feel strongly about it and go after it and just embrace it. You shouldn't be embarrassed of the things that you love, and you can find a community based on that thing that you love. I guarantee it. Like if you love painting,
oh gosh,
I'm look sure on Facebook and there's events for people who paint, and go find those people. You can find them through the internet and then meet them in real life, and boom, you have a friend with mutual interest.
Right.
And
another, start going to like painting classes at night, and you have people that you get to do something, the things you love with. It's always fun to have your best friends, but sometimes your best friends don't always share your passions. Yeah. And like, you love them so much, but they can't. Sometimes you just want someone to like talk about Joe's new haircut.
Sometimes you just want someone to talk about Joe's new haircut. And the last thing that I learned about stand-up is you're never too old to make new friends.
So true.
There were so many points where I was like, I don't need new friends. Like, I have friends from high school, friends from college, friends from sorority camp, da da da. And like, listen, it's never too late. There's room for friends, always. New ones, old ones. Sometimes you'll grow out of friendships and sometimes you'll grow into new ones.
So the moral of the story is that if you love something and you're passionate about something, even if it sounds really, really silly, you know what? Just dive fully into the community of people that are out there that you can share it with.
Yeah. Because don't isolate yourself in your passions. Find other people who are passionate about those
because
things.
You can meet new people that can expand your views and teach you things and bring you new experiences. And there are so many people out there in the world, and we don't need to limit ourselves to how many people we know.
Yeah. Like, and you don't need to limit yourself by geography or religion or school or politics. Course. Using the things that seem trivial to connect with other people can bring you so much needed perspective from all different walks of life.
Yeah. And I love what you said about how at Camp Toast, like, no one, you guys didn't know what you guys, like, what you all didn't know what everyone did for work. Like, when I go to Jonas Brothers concerts and I meet other fans, like, I don't even know their names. We're just in the crowd together, like, screaming and crying and hugging. And then we're like, okay, follow me on Instagram.
And you hear the bop, 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 bop. And everyone goes wild. It doesn't matter what everyone does.
What
you
is that song?
Fly with me.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Bump, 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 bump. Yeah.
It's like bump, 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 bump.
Liz's favorite Jonas song. Bump, bump, bump. Yeah. And
time. Okay. But the more.
Run. You do the thing.
Run.
Y'all, when you listen to, what song is it?
Pushing me away.
The first note is so low that Sarah and her Jonas friends will imitate it because it's so ridiculously low.
Because Joe just, he goes,
run.
Run. Like it's just like so fun. And I, like, if my roommates heard me talking about the Jonas Brothers for hours on end, they would be like, please move out. But yeah, it's just really fun. And I'm so thankful to the Toast that I met Liz through their community.
I say this all the time, but incidentally, the year that the Jonas Brothers came back was pretty much the same year that the Toast came into my life. And my mental health has been exponentially better because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there is drama that comes with it sometimes. Of course. In stan communities, tons of people on the internet, and that welcomes some negative voices. But for the most part, I've felt empowered and confident and truly embraced by this random group of internet strangers who are brought together by a similar interest. And I wouldn't change it for the world.
And I also just want to drop this real quick, but some of you may know that one of my best friends, Alana Dunn, she works for Hinge. She was on our podcast episode,
2 weeks ago, but I think we did mention it in the episode, but we met on Team Jonas in 2008 because I was a 12 or 13 year old girl that didn't have anyone else to talk about the Jonas Brothers with. And she was the same. And we met through the Jonas Brothers online community. And we stayed best friends, and she became my college roommate, my New York City roommate. And you know, she remains one of my closest friends. And if you met us, you would probably just think that we were just like, we just met in a regular standard, like college roommate kind of way. Mm-hmm. But we didn't. We met when we were like 12 and we
on the internet
were meeting on the internet. And I am like so grateful for her and for all of the experiences we've had together. And, you know, we've met them together and we were able to tell the Jonas Brothers our story of how we met, which was exciting. But at the end of the day, just don't discount how much being a huge fan of something or having a passion, don't discount how much that can bring into your life. And, you know, even if you find it silly, like, why not just like dive into it? Because you don't know how much it can help you in your mental health. I know loving the toast and loving the Jonas Brothers has helped my mental health so much and has given me support, has provided me with laughs and memories and fun times and new friends and community. And I'm just really grateful. So if you love something, stand them hard. Come up with a Twitter account.
Stand them hard. You if you love tennis, you can be Mike Tennis.
Talking about tennis.
Well, I don't know. I was trying to think of another passion. Like, I'm Liz Kardash on Twitter.
Yeah.
Follow me at LizTweets5.
Follow me at Jonas Fanfuels on Twitter. That's my Twitter account. That's actually my side Twitter account where I talk about Jonas all day.
Oh, I love it. You have two.
Yeah, I have my like regular Sarah Sassone one.
You can follow our podcast at It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod. You can follow me at Liz Height.
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy.
And
I came in looking for another excuse. No, I'm going to cut that out.
You can keep it.
I came in looking for another excuse to run away from something beautiful.
Sounds beautiful. Not as beautiful as run.
Run.
That was so good.
Run. Run like you do. I'm chasing you.
Okay.
And with that,
it's fine.
Nope.
With that,
it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Ciao. Bye. High five.
We just high five.
Can you hear with the high five and the new microphones we got?
Let's do it in the microphone.
Wait. Look at the elbows.
Bye.